the outline for the message. And I'll take out mine, okay? That'll be a big help, for me especially, because I have a good forgetter. As you all know, and my forgetter's getting better all the time. And so I need my notes, I really do. We're looking at living the better life, you know, and it's about, as we go through this series, and there's about 6 or 7 messages on living the better life and how there are various attributes and characteristics of that better life in Christ, not just living the good life. Because have you come to a realization that even as a believer in Jesus Christ, just living the good life that the world purports to be the good life is never good enough? And you know something, it never will be good enough. That's the way God intended it to be. Just because of the condition of the world that we're in and the curse of sin that affects the world system. So living a good life, no matter where you live, no matter what country it is, or whether, no matter what culture or philosophy is holding forth, this is the good life. It will never be good enough. But let me tell you, living the better life in Jesus Christ will always be good enough. And you know something wonderful about it? It gets gooder and gooder and gooder all the time. Okay? Yes! It is a good life. It's a better life in Jesus Christ. It's just that by way of, if you will, by reference and reminder for Bill Gray's sake, okay? Look at your outline. The better life. We've gotten some other phrases that are often used that are used for this better life that we're talking about. The Word of God talks about. And we'll be looking at another aspect of living that better life in Jesus Christ with wisdom. But before that, the better life is what we're talking about here in this series is sometimes referred to as a new life. Such as 2 Corinthians 5:17, dare if any man, woman, or boy, or girls in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation, the new life. The newness of life, the Christ-filled life is oftentimes used as a title for this better life in Christ Jesus, this new life. The abundant life. How many have heard years ago the term the abundant life? Yeah, many of you, and I'm surprised, even some of you younger folk have heard oftentimes that better life is referred to as the abundant life. And where they get that, of course, is from John 10, verse 10, where Jesus Christ says, I've come to give them life, life more, what? Abundantly. That's the abundant life, or the victorious life. Or another term, too, that's referred to, if you will, with reference to this better life we're talking about in Christ Jesus, is the Spirit-filled life. How many have heard of the Spirit-filled life? The same thing, okay? So there's many different names, if you will, but the bottom line is, it's not the good life that so many are seeking to achieve and to hold on to and to grasp when it's literally slipping out of their grasp. It's not that good life. It's something better. It's a better life in Jesus Christ that keeps growing more precious, more dear, more closer, more deeper, more lovingly, more gracious, and you can keep on going more this, more that. Amen? Because Christ gives us so much more. We have a number of verses. Take a look at your outline before you. I came, of course, quoted before, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the core of the gospel. That's the very core and the essence of this better life that we're talking about. For me to live is Christ, Paul says. What do you mean? He wasn't living before? Yeah, he was just living the good life as a Pharisee, as an anti-Christ, if you will. Because he was against Christ, he was against the gospel. But in one sense, he thought he was living a good life because he got all these accolades. Oh, look at Saul of Tarsus. And Saul realized that that's nothing. It's emptiness. And all the self-righteousness of his life was nothing but filthy rags. Till he came to know Jesus Christ and came to realize that it's God's righteousness in Jesus Christ that fulfills the law. All that he was striving for, as he defined, if you will, it was defined for him too, the good life. And Paul came to realize that it ain't good enough. I need the better life. Amen? Yeah. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, who I do live, but Christ lives in me. Very familiar verse to all of us. Father God, guide us in this passage, in these passages we pray. May your word come alive to our hearts, and may we grow in wisdom. For Christ, you are our wisdom. You are our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. You're the personification of wisdom from God, not the wisdom from this world. So Lord, help us to learn of you and to live the better life in you with wisdom, a wisdom that counts, a wisdom that transforms life into significance, purpose, and meaning, a wisdom that reflects that better life. Guide us, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. That better life is also mentioned as part of the new covenant in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, we also have in Isaiah, we also have in Ezekiel, the prophets of God, where God was prophesying through those prophets his service of the better life. And he counts that, if you will, that truth of the better life in Jesus Christ in the words of the new covenant. That's why tonight, when you and I gather here again tonight at 7 o'clock, and we celebrate the Lord's table, we celebrate communion, we celebrate the Eucharist, if you will, the bread and the cup, we're reminded in that you and I, as we are in Christ Jesus, we participate in the new covenant. And the new covenant defines that better life that you and I have in Christ Jesus. Take a look, if you will. I've got various extractions from Ezekiel 36. I am the Lord, declares the Lord God. I will take you from the nations. That's what he's done in your life and my life. That's what the gospel does. It gathers people from the nations. Every tribe, tongue, and nation will be represented there before the throne of God. I gather you from the nations. I will cleanse you. That's what he's done. That's part of the better life. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. All of these I wills are God's declaration. He's saying, the old covenant is not good enough. I am making a new covenant with my people. And that new covenant is in Jesus Christ, his Son. That's exactly what God says in Hebrews chapter 8. And that's exactly what we celebrate when we come to the table when Jesus says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And when you and I lift that cup in communion with thanksgiving and praise and adoration and love for our wonderful Savior, we're saying, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the new and better life in you. Better life than I've ever had before. Amen. Living the better life with wisdom. God's wisdom is essential. Last week we looked at living the better life in Jesus Christ with joy. Here we're looking at it, living the better life with wisdom. God's wisdom is so essential for the believer today, for every one of us. As it was essential for God's people back in the Old Testament days, too. You see, I can either operate my life on my own wisdom or the wisdom of this world, which is going to lead me right to a dead end. And I'm going to be a train wreck or a car wreck, whatever you want to, my life is going to be a wreck if I try to live my life by the wisdom of this world or my own wisdom. But God promises us, if you and I will live our life according to this wisdom, our lives will prosper and have meaning and significance, and bring glory and pleasure to our Heavenly Father. And others will see Christ in our lives. Better life with wisdom. Take a look at the verse that we have here from Proverbs. Some of you know very well. In fact, some of you probably even memorized from Proverbs chapter 2. For the Lord gives wisdom. That's the wisdom we're talking about, the wisdom from God. The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know what the writer of Proverbs, what Solomon is saying? You see, God spoke out his word. God, in fact, we know that because God tells us in his word. It's God breathed. God breathed out his word. And so that's exactly what the proverb writer Solomon is saying. God's wisdom comes through what God has spoken. and what you and I have in a written form today. Aren't you glad? I sure am. And so, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Another, Proverbs 4, when you walk, and he's talking about walking in wisdom in that context, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. You see, wisdom will not only guide you, it will guard you. God's wisdom, that is. So living the better life is a life to be lived with wisdom from God. Won't you agree? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will. And then again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, to connect the New Testament connection that you and I have automatically with the living word of God, Jesus Christ, and see him daily in the written word, the Bible. It is because of him, God, that is, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Circle that. Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom, God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is communicated through his word. You see, you have the living word, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, the incarnation, and he spoke God's word, he taught God's word, he gave God's word. And all that teaching and giving, he gave God's wisdom, what real life is really all about. And praise God that you and I have a written word. Because God has not been silent for you. He's constantly speaking to us through his word. God's wisdom is synonymous with God's word. They're one and the same. They really are. If you want to learn God's wisdom to live that better life, you need to be in God's word. And we're going to be looking at how you can. And I pray that this message will be encouraging to all of us, myself included, to encourage us to be in God's word, because it's in God's word that the Spirit of God works in our hearts to give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. Maybe you just recently accepted Christ the past year or 2 years. And this message is for you, to encourage you. Maybe you're saying, well, Bill, I'm not a new Christian. I've known the Lord. I've walked with the Lord many years, many moons. And this message is for you as well, to encourage you from God's word about God's wisdom in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never decided to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You've thought about it, you've heard about it, but you've never done that. Well, this message this morning is also for you. And a real encouragement from the gospel message of wisdom in Christ Jesus. Because you know, God really wants you to live that better life, both individually, in your marriage, in your family, in his church. To live that better life is a testimony in the community where God has placed us. You may ask, well, how does that work out? I'm glad you asked. Here in the outline, God's wisdom or God's word, because they're synonymous, will strengthen your faith. Take a look at your outline. That's a promise from God, incidentally. God promises his word, his wisdom will strengthen your faith, will deepen the roots of your faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will strengthen your walk, your faith walk with Jesus Christ. And as you walk with the Savior, you'll be walking in wisdom, not in foolishness. Strengthen your faith. Take a look at that, Acts 20, where Luke writes these words. Words from Paul, as Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now I commend you to God and the word of his grace. What is he talking about? He's talking about the word of God. The word of his grace, the word of God. What will it do? Which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I realize, and you realize too, as a born-again believer, there are many things that can strengthen us. Such as worship, a Bible study, small groups, fellowship, all those graces that God gives to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they can all be used to strengthen our faith. But they're all connected with the Word of God. And if they aren't, then we need to change them. The central core that God will use in your life and my life to strengthen our faith is His Word. And so our fellowship should reflect that. We should share that and speak that. Our worship should incorporate the Word of God. Our small group should be around the Word of God, studying it, applying it. God's wisdom, His Word, will strengthen your faith. That's a promise from God. Take a look at the book of Acts. We won't go there today, but I'm sure you remember as you read through the book of Acts, as the church was growing, you see the significance and the importance and the essential element of the Word of God. And scriptures went forth boldly, courageously through God's people, and the Word of God was magnified and grew. But there's something else too. God's wisdom, His Word, will guide your decisions. God promises that also. Did you know that? Of course you did. I know you did. God promises that through His wisdom, through His Word, He will guide you in your decisions. Whether it's decisions about finances, whether it's decisions about marriage, whether it's decisions about parenting, whether it's decisions about where you're working, how you're working, whatever it may be, whether it's a decision about your education, every factor in life, God promises He will guide us with His wisdom through His Word. Aren't you glad? Because there are a lot of people that are going to try to guide you from a worldly point of view, from a worldly philosophical point of perspective, and it's going to lead you nowhere. I remember counseling a young girl many, many years ago. She was coming out of a difficult situation. She was a single gal. She was starting to come to the church, coming to know Jesus Christ. And her life was really becoming transformed. And she said, Pastor Bill, I want to sit down and talk with you about what I've been going through, because I've been going through a lot. And so we sat down, and she began to share a bit. And she was going from pillar to post, literally, in the world philosophy, in the world psychiatry and psychology. And the last psychiatrist that she went to, she said, Doctor, you're telling me to do things you wouldn't even tell your own daughter to do. What counsel was she receiving? When she talked about guilt, about things, don't worry about guilt, that's foolishness. If it doesn't hurt you and doesn't hurt anybody else, go ahead and do it. That's the counsel of the world. That's not the wisdom of God. And so God has promised that He will guide us in our decision making. Proverbs 3, turn with me to page 627. 627 here in your pew Bible. I don't know where it is in your own personal Bible. Page 627 in the pew Bible. Proverbs. It's a verse, a passage you probably know very well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, because it'll lead you astray. Some of you are struggling, I know. Some of you are struggling with your marriage. Some of you are struggling with your children. Some of you are struggling with employment. I need to encourage you today as your brother in Christ. God's wisdom through God's Word will guide you in the decision-making. It really will. But you have to read it. You have to learn it. You have to apply it. You have to trust in Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. I tried that. And sometimes I still try that. You know what? And it's foolishness. God's wisdom through God's Word will guide you. God's wisdom through God's Word will also enhance your life. It will be a blessing and benefit to your life. Take a look at the person, Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Now I know sometimes people have such a limited understanding of whenever you see capital L-A-W, and they say, wait a second, does that mean just those 10 commandments? No. The word there that he's using is Torah. All of the instructions of God. Now you and I have, in the context of all of the instructions of God, We have the prophecies. Yes, we have instructions and commandments. But we have the recorded life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have all the epistles of the apostles. Praise God. And so we need to take all of the Word of God, all the counsels of God, all of the Torah of God, and not depart from your mouth, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be, circle these two words in your outline before you, prosperous and successful. Who doesn't want a prosperous life and a successful life here amongst us? Go ahead and raise your right hand. Who doesn't want a wife? Okay, all right. Operative word doesn't, okay. Right. Yeah, all of us want to be prosperous and successful according to God's will and God's wisdom. And we begin to learn as we lean on God and trust in Him, we learn from His wisdom that some things that I thought were going to be successful in my life really didn't count for anything. But what God had determined before the foundations of the world that would be successful in your life, in my life, in Christ Jesus, means everything. And we can experience that right now today. Just like that passage that was read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 by Tom Trake. God has revealed a lot for us, those who love Him, of what He has for you in Christ Jesus right now. Right now, beloved. Take a look at Jeremiah 29:11. I hope by now it's one of your favorite verses. Certainly it's mine. I know the plans I have for you. Circle that. Plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. There it is. Prosper you. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Yes, God's wisdom through God's word will enhance your life. I can speak of that personally in my own life. And I can speak of that personally as a friend, as a pastor, as a brother in Christ, with many, many other Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. God's wisdom through God's word will enhance your life. God's wisdom will change your heart. Because God's word changes your heart. God's word and God's wisdom are synonymous. Take a look at the verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It's not some nursery book. It's a living, active word of God. And it works in our lives, in our minds, in our souls. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates either the dividing of the soul and the spirit. Now that's pretty fine. To divide the soul and the spirit. But God's word is able to reach right down into the very depths of my life and your life. And transform and change our hearts. Because why? It judges, it discerns, it gives us instructions about the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Sometimes the thought and attitude of my heart is not right. And sometimes the thoughts and attitudes of your heart are not right. I know that because of who we are. God knows that most importantly. That's why He's given us a new heart. That's why He's cleansed us. That's why He's given us His word and His wisdom through His word to change our hearts. Because, you know, the moment you got saved, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were instantaneously, at that moment, made a child of God. You were brought into His family. You're adopted by God. You're in His kingdom. You're in the kingdom of light. You're no longer in the kingdom of light. A lot of things. In fact, there's about at least 33 things that have happened at that one moment. Less than a nanosecond. Whatever that means, okay? It happened fast. But that doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. That transforming work of the Holy Spirit coupled with the Word of God, as you and I learn wisdom and apply wisdom from God, we begin to see transformations going on in our heart and our mind. You see, I look at my wife differently now than I did when I first met her, than I did when we first got married. I look at my children different now than when we first had them. I look at my grandchildren a lot different now. I look at my brothers and sisters a lot different now, too. You know why? Because my heart is being changed. Is your heart being changed? Is your heart being changed? Are you experiencing that transforming grace of God through the wisdom of God in your life? I pray you are. I pray you are. Do you realize we live in a time when you can get many, many different translations of the Word of God, right? Many different versions. But let me tell you something, beloved. The best translation of God's Word for your next door neighbor is a translation of God's Word through your life. A life that is being transformed by God's wisdom. Oh, incidentally, it works well with our children, too, when they see a change. Let's go on. What keeps God's Word from transforming our lives? Well, a couple of things. Difficulties. How many here have come across difficult passages in the Word of God that you really don't understand? I have. Okay? That doesn't mean it's any less than the Word of God. It's because it is the Word of God that we need to be diligent in studying the Word of God. And I come across passages and I still don't fully understand them. But that doesn't stop me from studying. It should never stop me from studying. But you know, sometimes, because we bump into these little difficulties in reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, it stops us. Dead in our tracks. And we put the Bible up on the shelf, in the bookcase, and we say, you know, it's too hard to understand. Baloney. Sometimes those difficult passages aren't for you right now. But the passages that you do understand, God wants you to live. And wants me to live too. But one of the reasons that we don't oftentimes see that transforming work of God's wisdom through His Word transforming our lives is because we've made up our minds and saying it's too difficult. When with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the church, in biblical teaching, biblical preaching, sometimes those difficult things, all of a sudden they become so clear, and you say, is this how I'm supposed to live? Yes. This is how I'm supposed to live with my family, with my church family, with one another, with my neighbor. Difficulty. Another reason, too, that we find it sometimes a hindrance to the transforming work of the Word of God in our lives is because we become so familiar. What's that phrase? Familiarity breeds what? Contempt. Sometimes that happens, you know. But you know, sometimes we get so familiar with the Word of God. I remember leading a dear friend in the family to the Lord when he was in the hospital. Mike Assertia. Dear, dear friend. And we had the opportunity to give him the Bible. And so it was about, through encouragements and whatnot throughout the course of the year, it was about a year later or so, we had occasion to be together with him. I said, Mike, have you read the Bible? Oh yeah, I've read it already, and I'm done with it now. Yeah. And sometimes we become so familiar that we just say, oh well. Or, if you will, growing up in the church, we become so familiar with the stories, with the narratives, with the principles, with the Psalms, and familiarity doesn't breed contempt with the Bible, but it familiarity like that with the Bible, sometimes it makes us so content with being lazy in handling the Bible. Well, I've already read that passage, Lord. I don't need to read it again. I really understand it. Lord, I could really repeat from memory Psalm 23. I don't need to read that again. You know, sometimes familiarity with the Bible hinders us. But every time you open your heart to the Lord and you open the Word of God and you're seeking wisdom from God, you know what happens? All of a sudden, God shows you new and wonderful things in His Word.
In fact, that's a promise from God. Jeremiah 33:3. Amen? Yeah. And we should pray that. Let's go on very quickly. How to pray. And then the thing on the extreme right of that grid there, if you will, priority. Sometimes the Bible isn't a priority in our lives. We pick up the Bible for church, for Sunday school, or for worship service. And then we get back home Sunday afternoon. We put it back where it is. And then we pick it up again next Sunday. We don't make it a priority in our lives. I'm amazed at some Christians, how well their memory works on batting scores of their favorite team. I mean, they know everything. You can go back 12, 10 years ago, and they know those things. And you ask them about something in the Bible. Well, it's never really been a priority. If it's not been a priority, then you're not going to be in it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you, as I have been encouraged by many that have been involved in my life and have spoken to me about prioritizing the Word of God. First of all, number one, approach it with enthusiasm and desire. Psalm 119 talks about, the writer talks about how he desires and he delights in the Word of God. There's an enthusiasm. Take a look at the verses there. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, crave, desire pure, sweet spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And Jesus answered when he was faced with the temptation of Satan there in the wilderness, man does not live by bread alone. You like a good, hot, warm loaf of bread, don't you? I sure do. My wife gave up making bread, you know. out there in Indonesia, one of the things we really enjoyed was homemade buns and homemade bread. Man, that was great. We all love bread. We're kind of a bread culture. But it says, don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We're talking about the Word of God. Well, how do you have enthusiasm and desire? Well, first of all, know that God wants you to be enthusiastic and desire His Word. Know that that's God's plan for you, God's will for you. Then ask Him to give you enthusiasm and desire for His Word. That's not a wrong prayer, incidentally, beloved. Because we're told in the Word of God, God is at work in you both, willing to do His good pleasure. God is pleased when we are enthusiastic about His Word, when we desire His Word, because He tells us, don't live by bread alone, but also by every word that comes forth from the mouth of our Heavenly Father. Okay? And then ask Him to open your heart. These are under approach it with enthusiasm. Ask Him to open your heart to discovery. I find that the more things I discover in the Word of God that I didn't know before, or I didn't see before, or I didn't apply to my life before, the more discoveries like that, boy, I'm really excited about getting into the Word of God. Let me ask you something, brother, sister in Christ. When was the last time you got excited about getting into the Word of God? If you're saying 5 years ago, you've got a problem. If you're saying a year ago, you've got a problem. But it's a problem that God can solve. Aren't you glad? Know that He wants us to be enthusiastic and desire His Word. Then ask God to give you that enthusiasm and desire that He wants you to have towards His Word. Ask Him to open your heart to the discoveries. Experience it with eagerness and consistency. Underline or circle those two words, eagerness and consistency. In Acts 17, verse 11, we don't need to turn there, but in Acts 17, Luke writes about the Berean Christians, the Berean believers. And they were eager to study the Word of God, to get into the Word of God. And when they heard Paul preaching the gospel, they got back into the Word of God with eagerness and say, wait a second, is what Paul's saying really in accordance with the Word of God or not? And guess what they found? It is. It is. Awesome. And they came to know the Savior. Experience it with eagerness and consistency. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, you had there before you. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Are you going to the world for the wrong kind of wisdom, for the wrong kind of counsel, for the wrong kind of guidance? Then this portion of God's word is talking about your heart. Okay? God wants you to be blessed. He wants me to be blessed. He wants to bless his church. So he says, blessed, happy, joyous is a man or woman who does not walk after the counsel of the wicked, who stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Circle those words, day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. What's he saying there? If you and I are going to experience the Word of God with eagerness and consistency, we have to have a plan. And then we have to work the plan. We have to have a plan of how we're going to be reading the Word of God. Let me just share one for you. Maybe you've already heard of this plan. It's a very simple plan. It takes you through month by month by month. With every day, you read a portion of the book of Proverbs. I'm not saying Proverbs is the only book in the Word of God to read, but let me share with you a plan that has worked and helped many. Our kids have used this in their own personal lives. I know other brothers and sisters in Christ have done the same thing. And they said, wow, I'm learning more about my life and my relationship with Jesus Christ than I've ever done before. Simple plan, but you got to work the plan. Take the book of Proverbs. It has how many chapters? 31 chapters. So it covers those months that have 31 days, okay? But you can start today. What's the date? What's the date for today? The 5th, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the 4th. 4th, okay, thank you. Great. Good counsel and correction. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so today's the 4th. So this is the plan. You read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Now, maybe you want to split it up between morning and evening. That's your plan. That's okay. But read a chapter a day. And so you start with today. Today's date is the 4th. You read chapter 4. Okay, will you do that? Read chapter 4. And then tomorrow is the 5th. What chapter do you read? Chapter 5. Right. You know, I love that plan because it's simple, because I'm a simple guy. I really am. You know that. I know you knew that. That's why you called me. Right? Yeah. So it's a simple plan. Read Proverbs 4. Proverbs 5. Okay, so that's a plan. But you got to work the plan. That's with eagerness and consistency. And then number 3, you discuss it with your family and friends. Number 3, how do you prioritize the Word of God? Number 3, you discuss it with family and friends. Where do we get that? Where in the world do we get that principle? Well, I'll tell you, we get it from God's Word. See how wise God is? Awesome. These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them. Circle that. Talk about them. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. What's he saying? Discuss the Word of God with your family and with your friends. Share God's Word with others. Speak God's Word to others. Live God's Word before others. Number 4, act on it with immediacy. If you sense in your heart, you're reading the Word of God, and you say, oh, that's for me. I need to confess that sin. Do it with immediacy. Don't say, well, you know, I think I'll do it next Friday, because that's a real good day for confession. No. With immediacy, right now. With immediacy and conviction. The reason I say conviction is, are you really convicted in your heart? Do you have that conviction that this is the Word of God? Or is it just another book that we happen to use here at South Mountain Bible Church? Emphasis on Bible, okay? If you really believe this is the Word of God, then you're just like the believers in Thessalonica. Let's take a look at that passage there. There in your outline before you. And we thank God continually because you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted. I want you to circle the word received. Circle the word accepted. Accept it as not as words from men, but as it actually is the Word of God, which is at work. Circle that phrase, which is at work. In you who believe. Circle the word believe. So you should have a total of 4 circles there. Amen? Yeah, okay. Receive, accept, which is at work. We believe. Does that define your life and your relationship with God's Word? Have you accepted it as the very Word of God? Or is it just another book that you've grown to respect, maybe, and maybe even love because it bounds so well and smells so nice? Or have you truly accepted it as the very Word of God? And so that when you read it, and when I read it, that we're saying, God is speaking to me. Do I receive? Do I accept? Do I know that it's working in my life because I'm believing what God has said? Beloved, if you follow those four principles that you have now on before you, you will make God's word and God's wisdom through his word a priority in your life. What's the plan? Proverbs 4. Tomorrow, Proverbs 5. Work the plan. Father God, we thank you that we can, in your Son Jesus Christ, be given wisdom and guidance from your word, that we can walk in the newness of life every day, and that we can stand in the victory of Christ, in his power, in his life, in his purpose and meaning and significance, for we are your children. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I want